Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 1 of the study of 1 Corinthians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? We want to hear from you. Would you speak to us? Touch our hearts with revelation. Give us wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV, as always. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Paul is continuing this on from the previous chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course, is the love chapter. And he's continuing this on. Remember, we talked last week about how if you have all of the spiritual gifts, if you can operate in the depths of the greatest ministry of the Holy Spirit that anyone in Scripture or otherwise has ever operated in, and you don't have love, if you're not operating out of love, if love is not your primary motivation, then you gain nothing from it. Other people may gain something. Long term, they won't be as good off. Short term, it may actually change some people's lives, but long term, they don't benefit and neither do you if we don't operate out of love. But remember, Paul is giving us all of this information. The Corinthians are at least interested in spiritual gifts. And Paul is explaining the spiritual gifts of the church of Corinth because they need help. They've got serious issues, and Paul is saying this is how you overcome these issues, by allowing the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity that Jesus said he was sending in his place. Remember, Jesus said that him sending the Holy Spirit to us was better than him physically being with us. And so allowing the Holy Spirit to operate through us for the benefit of the church, it's powerful. And Paul is telling the church of Corinth, this is the way you overcome these issues that you have. And that's why he's telling them this. He's giving them some ground rules. He's doing a very, very minor bit of explanation for most of the gifts in chapter 12. He really did just kind of like scattershot them out there. It's almost like, I want to make you aware that these things exist, chase after them. And one of the nice things about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is if they're truly from the Holy Spirit, they probably need less explanation than other things, because if it's the Holy Spirit, he's going to teach and guide you in those things. There's a lot to be learned in the Bible about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not saying that it's just kind of whatever you want to make it into is what it actually is. That's not what I'm saying. There's good things we can glean, but Paul doesn't go into a lot of detail except for the two gifts that he's going to talk about in chapter 14, and he names what he's calling the greatest spiritual gift. He ended chapter 12 saying, eagerly desire the greater spiritual gifts. And now he's going to tell us which one is the greatest. He says, desire above everything else that you would prophesy. He wants us to desire prophecy. That's very interesting. Prophecy is something of a loaded word in Scripture, and it's definitely a loaded word in our context today. Now, if you're listening to this and you are of the mindset that the spiritual gifts ended, or at least maybe the supernatural spiritual gifts, I would argue that all of the spiritual gifts are supernatural or they're not spiritual gifts. But if you believe that the spiritual gifts that Paul outlined in 1 Corinthians 12 and here in 14 are no longer in operation, I when I go through these passages, my main goal when going through the books of the Bible for the 10-week Bible podcast, my main goal is to encourage you first and foremost, to read this book 10 times in 10 weeks. I want you getting God's word in you. That is my number one goal. I never shy away from telling you my opinion about things, and I'm going to give it to you here, obviously. I never shy away from that because there's no point in doing that because it's going to come out anyway. It always, our opinions, our biases, they always come out of us regardless. But my main goal is for you to fall in love with God's word. First and foremost, I don't care if you see things like I do, if you like the things that I do, or if you want to see them the way that I do or not, I don't care. First and foremost, I want you to love God's word. Because I believe if you love God's word, if you just desire to know it so that you can know him, if you want to love God's word so you can win arguments, I'm not so much interested in that. But if you want to love God's word, if you hunger for a love for God's word so that you can know him more, that's my number one goal in everything that I do, in the books that I write, and in this podcast that I produce. I want you to fall in love with God's word, like I pray every day when we start, so that we will know him more. I want you to know him more. I want to know him more when I read through these things. So I'm going to give you my opinion. That's my warning. I'm going to give you my opinion. But if you don't share my opinion, I'm fine with that. If you don't love God's word, I'm not okay with that. If you don't love God's word and you want to love God's word and you're struggling to love God's word, I'm okay with that. I'm glad you're here. Keep going. Keep reading. Keep plugging away. We all go through ups and down seasons where sometimes it's a little bit harder to read than others. It's a little bit harder to engage with God's word than others. And that's okay. That's normal. If you've ever felt that, don't feel guilty for that. That's very normal. But I want you to love God's word more than anything else. That's the goal of this podcast. Not for me to give you my opinions. This podcast, honestly, is I want to help you get through the book. A lot of times when people don't have a guide, they get to something and they're like, I don't understand this, and they quit. My goal here is that you would read the book 10 times in 10 weeks, and then I'm your guide to keep you from quitting. I want you to read it 10 times in 10 weeks and I'm here to help you so that you won't quit. That's what I want. I want you getting God's word in you, because when you get it in you, it's really difficult. It's not impossible, but it's really difficult for God not to follow along, God himself. Now, if you get into arrogance and you just want to win arguments with people, you know, kind of like the Pharisees did, then that's not a good way to go. But that's actually, if you're really just reading God's word, then that's actually pretty difficult to go down that road. If you're reading a book 10 times in 10 weeks, you're going to meditate on it. You're going to fall in love with God more than likely. Okay, so let's go on. And again, I've already made my apologies for my opinions, and so here they come. Verse 2, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to the people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So Paul here is speaking about tongues that would probably be used in a devotional sense. On the day of Pentecost, we know about the story about the apostles going out and speaking in other tongues, and the people understood them. And I've heard people joke before, you know, was it the gift of tongues or was it the gift of ears? You know, they were obviously babbling in other languages. Were they real languages that the people who spoke those languages were able to understand? Or were they babbling in tongues like we hear some people do nowadays, and the Lord interpreted it for them and gave them understanding? Who knows? Maybe it was both. Maybe it, you know, somehow it worked. We don't understand how it worked, but it worked. And here Paul is speaking more toward what people would call a devotional gift of tongues, where maybe there is no interpretation. It's not an actual language that anyone can understand, or at least no one in the room can understand, or the Lord doesn't give them the quote unquote gift of ears, and so they don't understand it. So it's a devotional language used when you run out of words. And I pray in tongues. probably not as often as I should, to be completely honest. Paul's going to talk about how much he does it, but I probably don't do it enough, but I do it. And one of the ways that it helps is not when I'm around anybody, not in front of anybody, but when I'm just praying silently by myself, praying alone, and my mind's a complete blank. And if we're honest, how many times have we set aside time to pray and, you know, our mind is running 100 miles an hour all day long, and then we get to when it's time to pray and we got nothing. We can't think of anything to pray and we got nothing. The devotional gift of tongues is for that time. And so many times it's really a jump start into that prayer life. Start praying in tongues and then things just kind of come out. Start, oh my gosh, I remember I should be praying for this friend and that missionary and this pastor and my spouse and my kids. I mean, those things just start popping up. It really does work that way. And I really do like it. But Paul's saying, you can get up and babble in tongues in church and no one's going to understand anything. It's not going to benefit anyone because it's, you know, it's like, oh, cool. That was an interesting noise. I mean, and that's what he's saying. But prophecy is when you get up and you actually in a public, you know, environment, get up and tell people something about themselves that you shouldn't be able to know. And it confirms to them that, oh my gosh, there really is a God who really sees me and really knows me. I've personally experienced that on at least 100 different occasions. And I know that number because I've been cataloging them, writing them down, going back through my journals and things like that where I've written about them. And I keep adding to that every week, adding to that number of times where the Lord very intentionally spoke to me in ways that were confirmed in one way or another, prophetically confirmed. Again, in the link in the description under this podcast, I've got a link to my YouTube channel where I like to tell some of those stories. I said this the other day, I don't like to get into a lot of those stories here because I like to focus on the passage we're on, but I do love to tell those stories. I encourage, if you're interested in that, go over to my YouTube channel and watch some of those. I'm trying to get those things out more regularly now because I love telling those stories because they encourage people. Because when you hear those stories, because when Paul's talking about prophecy, your mind may go to Old Testament prophets and Elijah, or, you know, you've heard of weird prophets or things like that nowadays. There's all this weird stuff. But when people hear stories about how cool, about how amazing this is when God really reaches down into your life and speaks in a way that's undeniably Him, when you know, oh my gosh, you really are there and you really hear my prayers and you really care and you really act and you really move on my behalf, that's so amazing. It's so amazing. I cannot understate how powerful that's been in my life and the lives of my family and other people. It's amazing. Verse 3, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in tongues edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So if it's another language and someone can interpret it, it then kind of becomes prophetic in that way. Okay, so I'll end this podcast with one story and I'll tell the story and then we'll finish. But I want to encourage you because this is something that it was powerful for me, powerful. Several years ago, I felt like the Lord was calling me to plant a church. I really felt like the Lord every day, starting at the beginning of this particular year, was calling me to plant a church. It was January 1st or 2nd, one of those 2 days. It was within the first couple of days of that year. I believe it was 2011. The Lord spoke to me in my prayer time, and I felt like He said, I want you to plant a church, and I want you to do it now. And I did what many of you may do when you hear the Lord say something like that. I said, no, I'm not encouraging you to tell the Lord no. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm just telling you what I did because I was really happy in the place that I was in. I didn't want things to change with my life in that way. I'm like, that pastoring a church is kind of messy and planting a church is even messier and harder. And, And I told the Lord, no, I said, I don't think I could do that now. I don't want to do that now. Maybe in a few years when I'm ready. And I told the Lord, three things. I said, Lord, I can't do it right now. It's not the right time because number one, I don't have a team to do it with. I'm not going to do it without a team. I'm not going to do it by myself. And I'm going to be a lone ranger. Number two, I don't have any of the logistics that I need in place. I don't have a building. I don't have a kids ministry. I don't have, you know, all of those things that you really need. I didn't really know how to get them or build them right now. You know, I didn't have the tools in place that I would have needed to create those things and have those. So I didn't have the logistics. And I told him, number three, I don't even know who would come. I don't know how to invite people to this. I don't know how to build the team. I don't know how to do this. I don't even know who would come to this, Lord. So I can't do it. It's not the right time. In every day, so starting that day, the Lord would say, do you believe that I can provide those things for you? And I would tell the Lord, of course you can, but it's not wise to do it without those things. I think you got the wrong guy. I don't think I can do this. Day two, same conversation, same exact conversation. I tell the Lord no. I tell him the exact same three things. We have this conversation back and forth every single day, and I tell him the same three things every single day for 3 months. Toward the end of 3 months, I start thinking, and part of it is I justified in my head that maybe this isn't the Lord. Maybe it's just me and I'm being a little crazy or who knows what, but I'm like, this can't be God. It's not, it doesn't make any sense. Can't be God. But after the end of the 3 months, it was relentless. It was like every day I felt like the Lord was telling me to do this. And so finally I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But I'm going to go away for a prayer retreat for 3 days. I'm going to do it. I'm all in. I'll do it. But I'm going to go away to this prayer retreat for 3 days. And I don't want you to confirm to me that you want me to do it. I just want you to tell me, if you don't want me to do this, please make it clear that you don't want me to do this, and I won't do it. And so I went away for this prayer retreat, and one of my good friends, and 30 of these 100 stories that I'm cataloging right now are because of my friend Draper. And Draper called me as I was at my friend's prayer ministry for this prayer retreat in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And you can go check him out. It's my friend Brad Stroop, who runs the prayer room in Arlington, Texas. You can go to the prayer room, look up the prayer room in Arlington, Texas, and you'll find him on Google. I was up there and my friend Draper called me and he said, Darren, I had a dream about you. I wanted to tell you about it. And he said, in the dream, he said, you were planting a church. And he said, it was the strangest thing because I never thought of you as a church planting guy. Didn't think you were interested in that. But in the dream, you were planting a church. And I haven't had any conversations with Draper over these 3 months, or actually for probably 6 months. For at least the 3 months, we hadn't talked about this. And I never told him this conversation that was going on. I never said a word. And he said, you know, you're planting a church in this dream. And he said, and it was amazing. Like the Lord was really blessing it. Things were going great. And the Lord was just really breathing on it. And everything was going great. You kept outgrowing your facilities and you needed new buildings and people were coming to the Lord. He said, it was awesome. But he said, you kept looking at me in the dream, Draper talking to me, said, you kept looking at me and telling me three things, the same three things over and over again, Darren. You kept telling me it's not the right time to plant a church because one, I don't have a team to do it with. Number two, I don't have any of the logistics that I need to do it. And number three, I don't even know who would come. And he said, Darren, I looked at you in the dream and said, look around, the Lord's doing it. You need to do this church now. Then he woke up. Draper told me the three things, word for word, that I'd been telling the Lord in silence for 3 months. That was powerful. Like I said, Draper's done that with me at least 30 times, and the Lord has done that with me at least 100 different times where I'm praying and someone comes up to me and tells me what I've been praying in silence. And actually used to be a fairly regular occurrence with me and Draper. He would call me and tell me what I prayed in silence. He did it quite a bit for quite a while. Prophecy is powerful in the life of the church. It's it's so powerful. It's been so powerful in my life, and it's just so powerful in its practicality. But again, I care less if you believe me about that and more that you fall in love with God's word. I want you to fall in love with God's word. Because God will never lead you astray. If you fall in love with his word, if you fill your heart and fill your mind with it, then he is always going to be near to you when you need him. He's going to be near to you when you don't feel like you need him. But he's definitely going to be near to you when you need him. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.